Well, this has been a big year for the Hippodrome. You know, Avenue Q is very popular this summer, and it's the 40th anniversary, right?
Absolutely.
Now we're into the 41st season. Mm-hmm. It's like now we're into a comedy, which everybody loves comedies around here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this show is going to do really well. Not that you would have had to have seen the show Boeing Boeing from a few years ago, but this is considered a sequel to Boeing Boeing. A couple of the characters, the two male lead characters, Bernard and Robert, were characters in Boeing Boeing. So we're revisiting these characters like 5 or 6 years later. The plot doesn't connect, so you don't need to see one show in order to enjoy the other.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, you don't need to. And there's different actors playing the roles from the previous production. But I think the audience will really like this show. It's a farce. It's comedy. It's light. It takes place in the French countryside. Mistaken identities, love affairs, kooky characters, crazy dress, 1963. I mean, it can't get any better than that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It does sound like a Gainesville kind of show.
It does, doesn't it? I think so. And I think it's really great that we're starting off this season with a comedy rather than a drama. Coming out of Avenue Q, I think it really connects the seasons together very well.
I know you can't give too much away.
Of course, you know, I can't.
You want people to be surprised when they come.
Of course.
But what does it mean? As much as you can tell us of don't dress for dinner, what does that mean?
What does that mean? I think it has a lot to do with the mistaken identities that happen in the show, which basically starts with my character of Suzette. And I can't really give too much away because from the beginning, there's all these little plot points that build on top of each other. But I will say that there is some redressing of my character on stage so that she can prepare for dinner as she assumes new identities in the show. And it's a lot of fun. And it's basically has to do with that. The don't dress for dinner is basically don't dress for your character because you never know who you're going to have to play any moment in this play.
Gotcha. Now, who's the playwright? What do we know about the playwright?
Mark Camaletti is the playwright, and he wrote Boeing Boeing.
Has it been a successful play elsewhere?
Yes. Well, the show was revived on Broadway, I believe, 2 years ago and had its initial revival, that production in London, I think about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a huge hit. The actress, Spencer Caden, who plays Suzette, the cook that I'm playing, was nominated for a Tony Award.
No pressure there.
No pressure there at all. You know, I've been very good about not watching any video clips or anything about her work, you know, so that I don't, you know, it's always great to be inspired by other actors' performances. But as an actor, you know, the creative process, you want to make a role your own.
Right.
It's so important. And so I've heard so many great things about her performance that I will not look at it until the show is done. And then it'll be interesting to see if there were any crossovers, if we came to the same places about the character. I always find that really interesting to watch other actors do the same work and see where the script just makes every actor create the same moment. You know, how much is that the script? How much is the actor creating the character through themselves?
Yeah, I feel the same way. If someone interviews someone, I don't want to hear their interview first.
Yeah, it's too influencing. You can't help but be influenced by it because you think, oh, that's really funny. I love the way they handled that moment. But it can become a curse because then it's in your head playing like a little movie reel. And I always try to keep, I like to keep the creative process pretty clean. I don't like to watch other actors do my part until after I've done it. Then I can enjoy it. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the theater being a thrust theater. I think that's the first time I've actually heard that phrase. And I'm sure anyone who's been to the Hippodrome knows what you're talking about. You got the three sides, and it's very intimate. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's about the way the stage and the audience interact. So I'll give you a little history lesson on the idea of how a stage works. There's something called a proscenium stage, which is a traditional theater experience. An audience comes into the theater, and the rows are very traditional, and the stage is set up in front of the audience. So everybody's point of view, the audience's point of view, is very similar. They're all looking straight at the proscenium stage, looking at the actors. Whereas with a thrust, you have 3/4 of the stage surrounded by the audience. So it's a thrusse. So the stage thrusts into the audience space. Whereas a theater in the round would mean the audience would be completely around the stage. So this is similar to a theater in the round, except one side has a wall. So it's not completely in the round. And it does make it very intimate, especially at the Hippodrome with their seating, because I believe it's like a 280-seat theater. So you have an audience that's fairly pretty close to you. I mean, I had the funniest story last year with other desert cities. We had audience come into the theater late. I mean, the theater is so intimate that when the theater, we had an audience, I think about 4 or 5 people come in late. We probably were running the show about 5 minutes, and they walked onto the stage to get to their seats. That's how intimate of a theater it is. So I had this audience member literally could have touched me. That's how close they were to me when they walked on the stage to get to the other side of the theater.
What did you do?
Seats.
Did you just ignore them?
It was actually a really funny experience. We held for a moment. We just, you know, I stayed in character and held the moment and kind of started to laugh just a tiny little bit because you can't help it. And a few of the other actors just looked at them like, you got to be kidding me, you know? And we kept on going. They got into their seats, and then we kept on going. And, you know, that's the magic of live theater. And afterwards, you know, I came off stage, and I just started laughing because I said, what else can you do?
Yeah.
People talk in the middle of your performance, and they got phones going off, and they're drinking, and you can hear their eyes shaking in their glasses. People don't realize you can hear everything that happens in the audience. You know, they're so close. You can hear every word. And, you know, there was, not to go back to it again, but other desert cities last year, I was sitting on stage. And for those of your audience that have seen the show, there's a moment where I throw the papers, you know, I throw this big manuscript and it's the big ending, you know. And I was sitting, and Sarah Morsey, who plays my mother in the show, you know, it's the part where she hands me the manuscript back, and I'm sitting there, and it's in my lap, and I hear two women in the row sitting right behind me, because, you know, it's pretty close, and I hear one of the women say to the other one, this is where she's going to throw them. This is where she's going to throw the papers. And I thought to myself,
throw them at her.
I didn't want to throw them at her, but I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is so great. Like, they were anticipating the moment where the papers were going to be thrown. And I could hear it, and
probably my friend Harry.
You know, I don't know, but it actually didn't bother me. It kind of made me feel really warm inside. Like, wow, like they're so into this story.
They were probably there before. This was their second time, maybe.
Well, I think they had seen the commercial, and they'd seen the posters where I'm throwing the papers in the poster, and it made me feel so warm inside. I'm like, wow, they've been waiting for this moment for 2 hours, and here it is. And it made me feel like, all right, ladies, here we go. I got the papers in my hands. Let's throw them, you know? And that's just another example of how intimate that space is. And
there have been a lot of plays there where, you know, the actors turn to the audience and include them in the play, so you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, you don't. That doesn't happen in this show, but hey, you never know. Get a rowdy enough audience. We'll see what happens. It is a comedy.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to add about the play that I didn't ask?
No, I will just say that I think this is a really special show and so much fun. And if people are really looking for a theatrical experience that just is fun, this is the show to come to. And for those that have never been to the Hippodrome, I can't wait to see them there. We're always looking for new people to come to the play, so it's great.
We got a lot of new freshmen in town, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Oh, they'll love this show. It's hilarious.
Is it targeted toward a certain age group? Do you think that'll get it more?
I don't think so. I think this is one of those plays that I think all ages are really going to love. It's smart. It's funny. It's really accessible. It's quirky. I can't see why anybody, any certain particular age group would prefer it over others.
Now, Avenue Q is not for children. Is this one for kids to come to?
I don't think so. I think it's more adult. Yeah. I would say, you know, depending on your teenager, 16 and up. I mean, if I were, you know, I can imagine. I went to lots of theater when I was a young teenager, and there's nothing in it that would be offensive. Definitely not. No.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.